Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by old people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show here on 3CR, 8:55am. My name is Shane, I'm here with Fiona. How's it going, Fiona?
Hey, I'm good, Shane. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about a recent decision that Consumer Affairs Victoria made following an investigation of a chain of older persons housing Ingenia Gardens. And it's a model of housing that I guess is a bit old-fashioned in some ways. They're called rental villages. And for some time, HAG as an organisation has been, you know, watching this type of housing due to a lot of complaints that we've been getting from residents. So, Shane, maybe tell us a little bit about, firstly, what are rental villages and what were the sorts of things that we were hearing from residents?
Yeah, so rental villages are a kind of accommodation for older people where they rent out units. The security of tenure is pretty good. You know, the units aren't getting flipped by their owners or anything like that. The rent is quite high. We often hear 80% of people's pension is going on rent, where, you know, the benchmark for rental stress is 30% of a pension. And commonly in rental villages, part of the deal is that you don't get your own kitchen and meals are provided to you as part of the quite high rent. The main complaint that we've consistently received for many years about various rental villages in Victoria is the quality or suitability of the food. Mm. So people are paying for these meals. The cost of that like eats up most of their pension, but lots of people would tell us that they're not able to eat the meals or they don't want to eat the meals either because they're low quality, the portions are insufficient, they're not adjusted to meet people's dietary requirements, etc., etc. So lots of complaints about the food, lots of inflexibility. Ingenia won't generally let people vary their agreements to stop paying for meals that they're not eating or can't eat. And that's one of the main issues. We've also seen Ingenia be fairly aggressive in pursuing lease breaking costs against people. So when people do decide to leave, they've very actively sought to get every dollar that they could out of them. That's relatively common for a lot of, you know, I mean, people in private rental probably thinking like, what's the difference? But I think it is different when you're dealing with older people, a kind of vulnerable cohort. They may have significant health needs. So an example of that would be, we had a client a couple of years ago. She'd had a stroke while living in Ingenia Gardens and needed to move in with her daughter for more practical support. Under the Residential Tenancies Act, she would have been entitled to just give 14 days notice because she had special and personal care needs. There are some exceptions that can get you out of a lease in those circumstances. But she didn't give the exact right kind of paperwork to access that right under the Act. And Ingenia came after her for full lease breaking costs just because, you know, this woman in her 80s who'd had a stroke didn't do her paperwork correctly, which VCAT wasn't so happy about, as it turned out. So those are the sorts of behaviours that we see from Ingenia Gardens. And when Victoria introduced the rental minimum standards, which came into effect in March 2021, we talked internally about and raised externally that this was going to be a problem for rental villages because they had, you know, Ingenia has hundreds of units across Victoria. Other rental villages have that number or, you know, maybe not quite as many as Ingenia. It's probably the largest chain. But they were, you know, not offering stoves. In many cases, we understood they wouldn't be able to install stoves. I'm not sure how true that was, but something they maybe had put across to us. So what was going to happen when it was suddenly illegal to rent a unit that didn't have a stove in it?
Mm.
And what we saw was that there was no change from Ingenia. They continued to rent out units that didn't have any cooking facilities except maybe a microwave. And the minimum standard for kitchens is very specific that it has to include at least, you know, a dedicated food preparation area, including a stovetop with at least two hot plates or burners. And we, you know, raised this with Ingenia directly. In some cases, we were able to get cooktops installed for individual clients, but we knew there were many other renters there who weren't getting the same benefits. In one case, a manager at Ingenia Gardens told me they'd had legal advice that they didn't have to comply with the minimum standard for kitchens, that you only had to provide cooktops if you were providing a kitchen, and because they didn't provide a kitchen but only a kitchenette, the kitchen minimum standards didn't apply. And at the time, I didn't think that was a viable reading of the regulation, and events more recently have confirmed for me that I was right and they were wrong.
Very satisfying for you, Shane, I'm sure.
So here I might just read out from the press release that Consumer Affairs put out last week. Ingenia Gardens will pay over $1 million after failing to provide safe and functional kitchen facilities in rental units for older, financially vulnerable Victorians. Consumer Affairs Victoria investigated the company after a report from the Housing for the Aged Action Group. That's us. Inspections by Consumer Affairs Renting Task Force found that many units did not have cooktops and that rental agreements prohibited renters from cooking at home. Ingenia Gardens instead offered renters paid meal plans at an additional cost. Not having cooktops in a rental property is a breach of Victoria's rental minimum standards, mandatory requirements to make a property safe, functional, and secure. Including unfair terms in a contract is a breach of the Australian Consumer Law. Under an enforceable undertaking, Ingenia Gardens has agreed to pay $1 million, will compensate affected renters an estimated $400,000, and will pay $100,000 to Housing for the Aged Action Group. That was a nice surprise, I tell you what. Ingenia Gardens operates over 250 units in Victoria and markets its properties to seniors looking for low maintenance and independent living. There was a quote in the media release from the Director of Consumer Affairs, Nicole Rich, saying that minimum standards are not optional and exist to ensure all renters have access to a safe and functional home. Failing to provide basic kitchen facilities and prohibiting renters from cooking in their own homes is unacceptable and unlawful. And we will continue to take strong and decisive action against any rental providers, big or small, who fail to meet their legal obligations. So you can look at the enforceable undertaking online. It has more detail about exactly what was agreed to or committed to. It does say, I think this is an important point, that the director was concerned that the practices, the breaches of minimum standards, were systematic, large scale, and affected those who were vulnerable and financially disadvantaged, denying them of renters' rights. There's a whole set of provisions about what Ingenia has to do, including reporting to Consumer Affairs and preparing plans both for the payment of the compensation, which is essentially $15.89 per week for everyone who was affected by this for as long as they were affected by it, plus $50 as a lump sum in recognition of their frustration and denial of their rights. Ingenia has to publish a statement on their website, all of this stuff. I don't know this for sure, but I strongly suspect this is the biggest penalty for residential tenancies offences in Victorian history. It's by far the largest that I can remember. And one thing that is appealing to me about it is, as we said, there are other rental village chains in Victoria that operate on the same model. You've got to think they're sweating it a little bit after this announcement. And we have spoken to Consumer Affairs a little bit about some other providers that they might want to look into as a follow-up to this.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's really good about it is we often are, I guess, prosecuting these arguments resident by resident, one by one. And when there's something like this that's affecting relatively large groups of renters, particularly people who generally don't speak out that often, they're afraid for, you know, retribution, or they just don't want the hassle of making a complaint. To have something like this where the government's rental task force has actually come in and made a big change to a lot of people's lives as a result of complaining to the regulator, it's a really great win. So we're about to go into... Oh, hang on.
So
Shane has more to say.
Yeah, so I did want to talk a bit more about the renting task force. I think it's important that people know about this. It has been a huge sort of cultural shift at Consumer Affairs with the introduction of the renting task force, which started in 2024. Historically, many people in the tenant advocacy space have complained that Consumer Affairs was reluctant to issue fines or infringements or take other enforcement action in respect of residential tenancies. It wasn't generally a priority for them, even where there was really strong evidence of breaches or contraventions or offences. The Renting Task Force, according to a media release from the 1st of July 2025, Since it was established in 2024, had issued more than 80 fines, totaling more than $670,000. So just a massive increase where I think even a few years before that, you would have seen a total number of fines that was close to, if not zero.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also gratifying because we don't have an up-to-date information about exactly how many fines they've issued altogether to today's date, but it seems like the Ingenia one might just double the total amount, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And again, it's because it's a systematic breach. You know, most breaches of the rental minimum standards are individual. They're, you know, a single landlord with one or a small portfolio of investment properties where there's a particular issue that has to be addressed. In this case, it was sort of systematic and deliberate breaching of the minimum standards, which is why the penalties have been so substantial.
And it's great to be living in Victoria, where we do have stronger renting laws than a lot of other states, but also no point in having a law if it's not enforced. So it's great to see that we're seeing the Rental Task Force actually doing this.
Yeah, so you can report offences that you might identify as just as an individual renter to the task force. Not every provision of the Residential Tenancies Act is an offence. There's a specific subsection that are offences that involve penalties, and those are the ones really that you can report to the Renting Task Force. They have a particular focus on minimum standards, but there are various other offences that you could report to them.
So we're going to hear from a couple of community announcements, and then we're going to listen to an interview from one of the residents, Sue, of
Make your donation during our annual Radiothon and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Donate to the 3CR Radiothon fundraiser this June.
To donate, call 0394198377 or go online at 3cr.org.au.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Celebrating 50 years of 3CR on Saturday the 4th of July at Collingwood Town Hall. There'll be stalls, displays, great food, performances, activities, prizes, and so much more. It's a birthday for us, and we can't wait to celebrate with you. Saturday the 4th of July, Collingwood Town Hall, 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. Bring your family, tell your friends, all are welcome. 3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Let us know you're coming. Go to Humanitix and search for 3CR to RSVP.
Thanks for joining us today, Sue. I mean, to start with, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm in my late 50s, so I'm probably one of the younger ones who lives in the community that I live in. I had a very checkered background, and unlike most of the ones in here, I have been in a housing co-op before, so I know, and we have to run it, so I knew a bit more about VCAT and legalities of things and leases and all those sort of things, because one thing I've found is that most of them, relatives do all the paperwork to come in, so that they don't even read their leases, they don't know what their rights are,
mm-hmm.
and they come from an era where if I complain, I'll get put out. So they sort of complain to each other, but they don't actually take things to management. And unfortunately, I'm not like that. So I tend to be the one they come to and they say, well, you'll know what to do about this.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. For people who don't know, can you just tell us, like, describe Ingenia Gardens a little bit, like the space, the units, the, you know, what sort of common facilities there might be, things like that?
Yes, I can. They're small one-bedroom units, very small actually, but the more space you have, the more stuff you accumulate, so it's probably better being small. It's less to clean, so there's bonuses to it. When I moved in just over 4 years ago, and I'd come from a situation where I was stuck in a unit down the back of my sister's house and had virtually no social activities at all. I just sort of stuck to myself and did things online. And coming into here was like a fresh breath air at the start, because I had neighbours and they were elderly and they needed help. And I'd had 7 years of my sister saying, you're useless, you can't do anything, you can't do this, you can't do that. And all of a sudden, I'm in a younger bracket where I've got technical information, I can help with their phones, I can order stuff online for them, I can give them advice. If I don't know something, I can Google it, and I know where to look. And it made me feel useful and part of a community again, because we have got a lot of good people who live in these communities. Mm-hmm. There's probably three or four that I can't stand, but that's okay. you just avoid them like the plague and do the best you can. But it's nice to have a neighbour say, what would I do without you? It makes you feel useful and included. And the community activities are good. We have a social club that you can be as involved as you want to. There's times when I'm not well enough to do much with a social club, but I try to do my best to join in and help them out with things. There are things that everything that's wrong with the place could be fixed easily, but sometimes it's like you're banging your head against a brick wall when you try to get somewhere with it. Some things we succeed, some things they listen to us. We've got a new regional manager, and she's a lot more approachable, but she's new to the job, so we'll see how that goes.
So the big news that's prompted us to do a show about Ingenia Gardens was the announcement of some fines or an enforceable undertaking to do with them not having provided kitchens to all of their residents. Yeah. Has that affected you or what's your experience?
It affects me indirectly. Ingenia has two levels of rent. You're either self-catered, so you pay more to cook your own food. So those of us who are self-catered actually have the cooktop, mm-hmm. but we pay $21 a week to be able to do that. So it's like we're renting the cooktop.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I believe now, because of the fine they've got, is also illegal. But so those of us who are self-catered aren't included in the compensation deal.
Mm.
Which I think is wrong. I have sent a message to head office and asked them if they're going to do something for us too, because that's overcharging us in rent. Well, that adds up to a lot over the 4 years I've been here. And it also affects me because head office had me down as being fully catered, as if I didn't have a cooktop in the kitchen. And I actually got a letter from them threatening my lease because I had air fryers, because I cooked my own food.
Wow.
So I think we've sorted that one out, but the lease that I have actually says that I'm not allowed to cook in my unit and that I'm not allowed to have any plug-in appliances apart from a toaster and a kettle.
So what are you supposed to do then?
Well, I don't know if there's two leases, because I've been asking for the last 2 years to get a correct lease that shows that I'm not breaching the conditions of the lease that I've signed. I obviously didn't read that bit when I came in and didn't comprehend it at the time, because I was under a fair bit of stress. I would like to see them rewrite the leases and bring them up to date, because they're obviously old and out of date.
Yeah. I mean, part of the enforceable undertaking is that they won't enforce any term in a lease that says that you're not allowed to cook.
Which will be good. I mean, how it's worked in here is with previous managers is the ones who've had air fryers who are fully catered and not supposed to have them, when they have an inspection, they go in the wardrobe under a blanket.
Mm. Yeah.
And we've had managers that have been nice and have looked the other way and just said, well, that's not there, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Which is nice, because they see the sense in being able to use things like that, because air fryers are safe, as long as you clean them.
Yeah, for sure.
And what does the self-catering versus the fully catering look like? So if you have a lease that has a fully catered option.
That means that they have a kitchen staffed by cooks that provide the midday meals. That just means that you pay for a meal package and go down to the dining room and have your lunch provided for you.
Only lunch?
When I first came in, there was a breakfast package, lunch, and sort of a snack-like tea meal. They've cut the breakfast package out. I think it was But the amount they were charging for it, it was costing them more and more because the cost of everything's gone up.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that the getting a meal for tea as a take-home meal is no longer available, but I'm not sure about that. I haven't looked into it because I self-cater. And I get different stories from different ones, and sometimes I don't know where the truth lies too, because Chinese whispers happens in this place. I chose not to get the meals when I came in because for health reasons I'm on a strict diet that they would have trouble catering to. So I just waited till a self-catering unit came up.
And you said that you pay extra for the self-catering unit. Can I ask how much your rent
$21
is?
$21 a week.
And how much does that make your rent overall?
My rent is about to go up in about 8 weeks and it will be $903 fortnight.
So, I mean, are you on a pension at the moment? Because that's got to be
I've been on a disability pension since I was 33.
Yeah. So, I mean...
It's a fair slug.
It's a huge amount. How do you manage with such a high rent?
I'm pretty good at budgeting. I'm very good at finding good deals online and saving as much. And cooking for myself, I can do pretty cheaply. And... yeah, it's hard, but we manage. The bonus to it is that if the place ever got sold, they'd keep us as tenants because it's really only got the one purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in our leases, they can't put the rent up more than our pension rises. So it's not like a private landlord mm-hmm. who just chuck your rent up $100 or $200. It's a fair slug of each pension rise, but it will never be more than the pension rise.
So at least it gives you that predictability, but it's still...
It means we're sort of in a bit of better position than some people, but
So
it's a lovely place to look. Where I live up in a back corner, we look out into a beautiful courtyard. We've got a nice little gazebo out there that we can meet out in and have coffee. And the ladies up here look after the gardens really nicely. I help them as much as I can, but I'm not really that good at flower gardening. I grow veggies at the back, but I try to.
So you've mentioned a lot of positive things about where you live, but you also mentioned that there are
the negatives could be fixed if everyone were band together and speak up. I think more would happen.
What are some of the problems?
Not how people operate these days.
Mm. So if you could have your wish list tomorrow, what would the things be of all of the things that need to be fixed?
General maintenance around the place would be one of the big ones. Better security, and also they need the vet who comes in a little bit better too. I can't really say much about that on air, but privately I can tell you about that. Yeah, it's just a case of listening to us, and managers who treat us like adults would be nice.
Yeah.
I think they forget just because we're not working that we haven't had active lives. I mean, I've done a huge number of jobs over my lifetime, thanks to living in Northern Territory for a while, including private secretary to a local member of parliament up there for short stints, and lectured at TAFE. So I may come across as a bit stupid sometimes, but. There is knowledge in my head somewhere, and if I don't know something, I look it up to find out.
And do you feel that the managers maybe don't respect people because they're older?
I think Ingenia as a whole tend to like to say Consumer Affairs said, or there's a new Victorian law, to older people, and they think, oh, Ingenia's got a legal department. Yeah, that must be right. Whereas I think, that sounds wrong. Let's go look it up or ring Consumer Affairs and find out.
Mm.
It's easy to fob off older people, and I've been told some things that even Consumer Affairs said they can't say that. But they don't let us record any conversations, so it's hard having proof of some things. But I always make sure I've got someone with me when I have a meeting with them, so we've got backup and say, well, you heard that too. It wasn't just me. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, today we're avoiding using your full name. We're trying to avoid identifying details. And
yeah,
like, Can you talk about why that is? Like, what would your concerns be if Ingenia heard that you'd spoken about your experiences there?
I'm probably already down their books as a troublemaker and a shit stirrer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've got a thick skin and what comes back on me is okay, but probably, yeah.
Have you seen them retaliate against people who they see as troublemakers, or?
I have seen favouritism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will totally ignore some issues, or they will say, oh, that's been addressed, but they don't tell you what they've done.
Right.
And they'll pick who they enforce lease, parts of the lease on, and who's, and they'll look the other way for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, you can say, well, I could say as a manager, well, so-and-so's done this, it's really bad. And I was, oh, yes, they're breaching their lease. Yeah, that was stand up in VCAT. But then they come back and squirm and say, oh, no, VCAT said that's not good enough.
Okay.
And you know they haven't spoken to them because you know it's a clear breach. You know it's major. And it's sort of a case of, I think this is why a lot of people just don't say anything. They just sort of sit back and we grumble amongst ourselves and... Yeah,
and also,
it's a hard one.
Also probably, like you said, although it is really expensive, it's better than the private market, so people don't have a great deal of choice either in terms of where they go if they were to leave.
Yes, that's true. And then if you're not well like me, because I am disabled, you've got to pack everything up and move too, and then by the time you change your address and change all your banking stuff, and it's just... It's something that we get to the stage where we don't want to do that again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And so,
it's also close to where my elderly parents live too, so it's easy for them to pick me up to take me to things, and I get to see them more now, which is good.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you heard that Ingenia was going to pay this big fine?
Happy for us, because hopefully if they've been pulled up on that, they'll fix some of the other things because they know, well, this can happen again. I don't know whether those of us who are self-catered are going to get included in the compensation or not. I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
At least they could stop charging us for that. That'd be nice. But, it's good to see that the law's been upheld.
Yeah.
So often it's not. You go to court and someone gets a rap over the knuckles, they learn nothing and they just keep doing it, whereas this time... Hopefully, they'll look at the other things they're doing that are wrong and do something about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that seems like a good note for us to wrap up on. Thanks so much for your time today, Sue.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks so much, Sue.
Okay, bye.
We're just about out of time, but before we go, we'll give out some contact information. If you're an older Victorian with a housing issue and you want to get in touch with us to talk about that, get some advice or assistance, the best number to call is 1300 765 178. That's 1300 765 178. If you want to talk to us about some of our policy stuff, getting involved in the working groups, becoming a member, any of those sorts of things, the best number is 9654 7389. That's 9654 7389. Fiona, you're going to take us out with a song. What are we going to hear?
We're going to hear a song by Abe Janowitz, and it's called Empathy. And our next show is our Radiothon show, guys. So
oh, yeah.
Get ready
those
for
wallets
that.
Ready.
Get those wallets out. All righty, let's go out with a song.
I am an alchemist. And I'm